Ever since the Reformation, for 500 years, pastors have had one shot at their congregation, and that's been Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And so what we've done is we've built this thing we call the sermon, and the pastor assembles all of his best material, backs the truck up, and dumps it on people. And then he does the same thing next week and the same thing next week. Well, educational theorists will tell us this is the absolute worst way to motivate people toward life change or to educate people about a particular concept.
Hey guys, welcome to the Empowered Manhood Podcast, where men are rediscovering courageous masculinity in the light of the gospel. My name is Mike Hatch, and I am here as usual with my co-host, author, and speaker, Chris Bollinger. And today we are excited for our guest, another author and speaker of note, David Murrow, author of Why Men Hate Going to Church, and most recently, Drowning in Screen Time. Now, you may recall that we've had David Murrow on actually twice before, on episode 3, when he talked about his book, Why Men Hate Going to Church, and then episode 9, where he talked about drowning in screen time. So if you want, you can definitely go back and check out those episodes. They were great interviews, and he had some amazing things to say on both of those subjects. Now, today we talk with David about a brand new project that he has just launched called the Online Preaching Coach, where he's putting together a cohort of pastors or ministry leaders or speakers who want to learn how to better communicate the gospel online. Now, if you are a ministry leader or pastor in a church, you're going to find this conversation especially relevant as the church, really, since the pandemic, has been thrust into online communication, putting sermons and videos and teachings online and social media engagement, all those kind of things. Really, the church has been forced into that realm, and you're going to find this conversation to be incredibly valuable. So make sure you have your pad of paper, break out your pen, get ready to take notes. Now, if you're the average Joe who just attends church on a regular basis, and I don't mean that in any negative way at all, but that you're not a pastor or ministry leader, I think this discussion is going to benefit you in three ways specifically. Number one, I think you're going to gain more empathy for the challenges that your pastor is experiencing and trying to communicate online. Number two, it's going to expose you to some new creative ideas for communicating the gospel. And number three, we talk about ways that you could potentially approach your pastor and talk to him about new ways to communicate the gospel online. And maybe if you are a guy who tends to enjoy the technical side of the service, maybe you're someone who works in the booth or runs a video camera or maybe does video editing or photography, that, you know, you could actually come with some cool ideas to help your pastor to better communicate the gospel online and reach more people. Make sure you check out the show notes if you're interested in this cohort that David Murrow is putting together. I'll have all the information and the links in the show notes for you. You can check them out there. Last thing I want to say before we dive into this interview is if you have gotten any value from this podcast and it's been an encouragement to you, the Lord has used it in your life, we would be so grateful if you would leave a review for us. And that just makes all the difference to continue to spread the word about empowered manhood. And if you can, if you've got time to write a review, man, that would be unbelievable, super valuable. So thank you if you already have. We really appreciate that. It's helping a ton. And of course, if you're interested in CLC or talking to me more about men's discipleship and how you might be able to utilize CLC in your church, shoot me an email. I'd love to talk with you and set up a time to get together. My email is mhatch@clchq.org. Again, that's mhatch@clchq.org. All right, guys, here is our interview with David Murrow. David Murrow, welcome back to the Empowered Manhood Podcast. We're grateful to have you again.
Well, I am just really excited to be talking about today's topic because it's basically tearing my life to bits. And I just can't wait to talk about why online preaching is being ignored.
I love it. I think it's extremely relevant. And I think a lot of our guests audience are going to really find a great deal of value out of it. And you've been one of our top downloaded episodes from your previous two interviews we did with you. And I don't think that's too much of a surprise to Chris and I don't think. But yeah, it's good to have you back again. And so today we're talking about your online resource that you've created, which is the online preaching coach. Is that right? Online, yes, preaching,
online
coach.
Preaching coach. Yeah.
And before we dive into that, if you wouldn't mind, I know in our previous two podcasts, we heard a little bit about your backstory, but we'd love to hear just a few more points, if you wouldn't mind sharing about what brought you to this point.
Okay. So, I wrote Why Men Hate Going to Church about 15 years ago. I started meeting a lot of pastors, talking to pastors. What people don't know about me is I have spent the last four decades working in the media business. I'm a television producer and writer. My specialty is the 30-second spot. I've written hundreds of 30-second commercials for Sarah Palin and, I mean, national companies, and I've earned millions of dollars, won awards. I know what I'm talking about, about getting a message said in a short amount of time. And then I sit under pastors who just go on and on and on and on, and I realize they're losing their audience. Meanwhile, I started to talk to them in post-pandemic. I started talking to pastors and I said, you know, you're losing your online audience. And they say, I don't care about online preaching. I care about bringing people into the room. Hmm. And what I'm trying to do is point out to them that online preaching is your church's new welcome center. Tell me, when is the last time you did anything before you checked it out online? You don't go to a restaurant before you check it out online. You don't take a vacation before you go check it out online. You don't even go to Walmart before you see if it's in stock. Hmm. Or Home Depot or whatever. Everything, people always check things out online before they commit in person. Hmm. Here's the truth about online preaching. People go to your website or they find you online. They check out your sermons. If your sermon is brief and clear and to the point and insightful, people show up in person. But if your sermon is really long and covers way too much ground and lacks insight, people are going to go on to the next church, or they're just going to skip church altogether and watch Netflix. So the stakes are really high. And I think pastors are only beginning to realize how important it is to improve their online preaching. And so that's what I've dedicated my life to the rest of my life to doing. I've set my production company aside, and I'm going full bore into teaching pastors how to be more effective online communicators.
Hey, Dave, how long will somebody watch if I'm checking out area churches, I'm new in the area, or I'm looking for a church? How long will I watch somebody's online? Will I watch an entire sermon? How long will I watch before I make a decision or maybe move on to the next candidate?
About 30 seconds.
Really?
You have 30 seconds to capture the attention of an online viewer. Now, it's different in different forms. For instance, if you posted your sermon to Facebook, you have 3 seconds. Because people scroll, you have about 3 seconds and they're going to go past you if you're not doing something interesting. If people have come to your website and looked specifically for your message, they're going to give you anywhere from 30 seconds to 2 minutes. And see, this is the poison that is going on. Pastors will, good morning and welcome to Sunnyside Church. It's so good to see you. I want to welcome our campuses. And I'd like to talk about our golf tournament that's coming up this weekend. And you know, now let me give a little bit of background on the text. The book of Isaiah was written in 650 BC, and it was a prophecy that was sort of, okay, stop. Okay, what have you given the audience that causes them to say, I really got to listen to this? The number one thing that I teach in my online preaching cohorts is you have to start your message with a hook every single time. Mm. Every single time you've got to go and grab their attention right away, because if you don't, they'll be gone. Even in the room, this is the case now, because people bring smartphones with them. And so a smart pastor will grab attention right away. Now, there was an early Christian teacher by the name of Jesus who understood this. He grabbed your attention right away. He said something controversial. You have heard it said, but I say, what? Crowd goes mad. You know, it's just Jesus knew how to do this, but our pastors who have been taught by seminary professors don't know how to do that. So that's what I teach is how to grab attention right away.
Well, I have to say that I agree with you. I've part of my role with CLC is to meet with pastors, and I'm meeting with them on a regular basis. And one of the things that I do before I target a church, that's a terrible word. You know what I'm talking about. When I decide to go after churches, is I go online and I check out their website. And sometimes I check out the Facebook page, and I might watch a sermon or you know, a video of a service. And typically it starts with a stationary shot of nothing happening. You hear the roar of like the crowd in the background a little bit. They might have announcement scrolling of some sort, right?
Yeah.
And then the very slow progression of the service as it kind of happens for the people who are there present. And it doesn't seem like they got any training in seminary on this.
Well, no. Here's the another big mistake churches make. They post their service rather than the sermon. And so a person might stumble across your sermon topic and say, oh, how to manage my money? I need to learn how to manage my money. So they click on the video, and it starts with nothing and a countdown. And then there's 30 minutes of music, and then there's announcements, and then there's nothing again while the congregation takes mm-hmm. communion. 48 minutes into this video, the sermon finally starts. And what does the pastor do? 3 minutes of announcements and background on the text. I mean, you talk about hiding our light under a basket. We are hiding it under a nuclear umbrella. we're saying we do not want to teach you because we post so much superfluous content online.
Wow. See, and that, I love that. That's I think should be the heart of every pastor. They want to reach the people that they're mm-hmm. they're speaking to. And
don't
they want to be that light. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, don't
That's a great way. Cause I think some pastors and some people in general might think, well, you're catering to the audiences. You're tickling the ears of people, right? That would be I'm hearing people make that counter argument.
Oh yeah,
to that.
Yeah,
right?
I hear it all the time. I mean, there's that old quote from A.W. Tozer: "Sermonettes create Christianettes." David Platt said, 15-minute sermons create 15-minute Christians." I don't even know what a 15-minute Christian is. but these sorts of self-justifying quotes from pastors just drive me wild. Because look, here's the thing: I have timed every parable of Jesus. The median length of a parable of Jesus is 38 seconds. 38 wow. seconds. The lessons that literally change the course of Western civilization preach comfortably in under a minute. What is the most famous speech ever given in American history? The Gettysburg Address. Clocks in at 2 minutes.
Really?
So, yeah, it's 2 minutes long. So what we have to, you know, kids still recite it. It's considered the greatest oration in American history. So I think there's a lot of self-justification. Pastors are unwilling to give up their pulpit time because that's the part of the job they like. They don't like running meetings. They don't like dealing with controversy. They don't like visitation, but they like talking. And so there's an unwillingness to give up that pulpit time. And one of my messages to pastors is you don't have to give up your pulpit time. But here's the thing. You have to preach longer, but your sermons have to be shorter. Now, what do you mean?
Yeah, explain that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the ultimate, I think, would be 20-minute sermons, but with live wraparounds. So if you tape the 20 minutes of your sermon that's going to live forever on your website and your YouTube and all that stuff, but then when you give your sermon in person, you say, hey, welcome to Sunnyside Church. Here are some announcements. Here's some background on the text. Here's a QR code. Shoot it with your phone. If you feel God prompting you to share this sermon, the sermon is now already on your phone. Just share it with a friend. I mean, how many times have you been in church and the Spirit has said, my sister really needs to hear this? You know, turn your church into this guided, your sermon into this guided missile that goes right to the people that need to hear it. When the sermon is over, you come back up and you do a live outro. And then you do daily devotions based on your sermons that are delivered via video. And then if you want to get into more into a topic, you link to a deep dive. And there you could talk about 45 or 50 minutes about the Ephesian church or whatever so you end up preaching longer, you speak more, but the sermon itself is shorter. This I believe is going to become the future model of the church. We're already starting to see some pastors figure this out. The very controversial Mark Driscoll, you know, everybody loves to hate on Driscoll, right? He's starting to shorten his sermons, which were legendarily long. They were an hour long. And he's starting to create more ancillary content related to his sermon outside his sermons. He's sending out daily devotions. He's getting people into the word every day. You know, what did Acts 2:42 say? They met daily in the temple courts to hear the apostles' teaching. We can do that now. We can disciple people every day. If instead of creating a single 45-minute Sunday discourse, we take that material and spread it out into smaller pieces and disciple our people throughout the week with it.
Okay, Dave, let me take a step back and just make sure, because it's always like drinking from a fire hose with you, which is great. But
yeah,
so let's kind of rewind a little bit and see if I can summarize it well. Okay, so if I'm a pastor, or if I'm talking to my pastor and encouraging him to do some things, the primary recommendations would be to get kind of a core message. So really focus on the core message and try to hone that down to 15, 20 minutes. There can be stuff before it, stuff after it, and even record that in advance or record it at some point, because that's what I'm going to present to the outside world. The people who maybe they'll watch it on Sunday morning, maybe I'll do it live on Sunday morning, but really get that down to a nice, concise, heavy hitting message that people are going to remember. They're going to want to share with their friends. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's going to be tough for a lot of pastors, right? Because they're not used to doing that. So,
A lot of them write their sermons on Saturday night. So you can't do that.
Okay. Okay.
You have to, everything that I teach pastors is predicated on being a week ahead. But I'm thinking like a television producer. I mean, they don't produce the Super Bowl halftime show. Oh, let's do this the first time on
right.
Super Bowl Sunday. they practice for months, you know?
Right. Right.
So anyway, keep going with your question.
Okay. All right. So that's one big thing, but I also heard from you earlier on that people are going to give me, you know, 30 seconds, maybe a couple of minutes. So Sounds like I need to package something else. And I see some pastors doing this. So for TikTok or Instagram or, you know, other social media platforms, they're getting I think you're required on Instagram to have it be less than a minute. I think there's ways of cheating
But
basically you want to get it down to a minute or less. Mm-hmm. So, I need to find some element of my sermon that I've recorded and then take that snippet, I guess, and make that what I want people to see. So because they're not going to watch the 20-minute sermon online, right? They're going to give me, committed people will, but people who are checking me out need something even shorter, right?
Yeah, right. So that's one of the things I'm going to be talking about in my blog. There'll be a blog post about this at davidmoreau.com about creating a promo. Now, everybody who works in the television business knows the importance of a promo. Tonight on Survivor Tanzania, Team Akinjo has been brutally betrayed. They took our water. You know, this hot, you know, this little snippet, this teaser that gets you to watch Survivor. So you do that with your sermons, you know, instead of, hey, welcome to Sunnyside Church and blah, blah, blah. You get on there and you say, why do so many adult children hate their parents today? I've got the answer. It's been going on for 3,000 years. Join us on Sunday at Sunnyside Church, and we're going to be looking at a father and son who got crossways and it led to a civil war. And we're going to show you how this situation can be, you know, how you can stop making the same decision they did today. Boom, done, right? And then you preach David and Absalom.
Okay.
But you, like the legendary Robert Lewis says, you always want to give people what they need disguised as what they want. And so instead of saying, you know, turn in your Bibles, we're going to do a short promo that is designed to draw them either to your church or to watch the sermon afterwards.
So that's not a snippet from the sermon. That's actually something that I would create.
Well, yeah. So
Andy
Stanley does this. Go to Andy Stanley, North Point Church. He custom promos his sermon series. I don't know if he does his individual sermons. See, now look, a lot of churches are doing custom video bumpers now for their sermon series. Mm-hmm. Take that bumper and turn it into a promo. I mean, you've already got that video content, you know?
Yeah.
If you're doing a sermon on the Ten Commandments, you say, you know, the pastor comes on and says, hey, Sunnyside Church, we're preaching the Ten Commandments. These are antiquated. They're out of date, right? We're going to show you how they still apply to you today and how they can lead you to a successful life. Something as simple as that. That becomes a promo. These are not hard to do.
Hmm. So what's interesting, what I love about this is, and this has just been more on my mind recently, as I've thought about marketing, because I'm in my role, it's somewhat sales where I'm, you know, selling CLC to some extent, but it's bumping up against marketing often. And part of marketing, I feel like, has to do with, they talk about the funnel, narrowing down to that person who becomes your primary target audience and customer, and then advocate for you. And I'm not trying to belittle, you know, discipleship by comparing the two. I'm not trying to, but in some sense, what I hear you saying, at least it works in this way in my mind, is that, you know, you start with what people want, you tease them that way, they get into the message, but then you also have this other content that, for someone who, as Jesus said, is being drawn by the Father, mm-hmm. Will naturally be gravitated to learn more and to grow, right? Mm-hmm. So it's right. In a sense, and then you're kind of building this relationship through your content with that person. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes. You have to recognize, let me do a little historical precedent here. Ever since the Reformation, for 500 years, pastors have had one shot at their congregation, and that's been Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And so what we've done is we've built this thing we call the sermon, and the pastor assembles all of his best material, backs the truck up, and dumps it on people. And then he does the same thing next week and the same thing next week. Well, educational theorists will tell us this is the absolute worst way to motivate people toward life change or to educate people about a particular concept. What you need is follow-up. What you need to do is introduce a concept on Sunday and reinforce it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We now have the means to do that by sending out daily push notifications, daily emails. Pastors, when they are assembling their sermons, almost always have extra content that ends up on the cutting room floor. Put that extra content into your daily devotions. Keep sending out information, dribbling information out. These little one-minute devotions then become little missiles, little witnessing tools that people can send to their friends.
Yeah.
We are missing so many evangelistic opportunities because we are so committed to the 40-minute brain dump.
Yep.
Because the only way we teach the people is through this long verbal discourse. And I'm just encouraging pastors to think differently. Think of themselves less as preachers and more as reachers. What do I need to do to reach people with the gospel?
Okay, so I'm hearing pastors out there, at least the pastor in me just shouted for joy inside when you said that. Because one of the things that pastors hate doing is killing their little babies. And
yeah,
in order
right.
to shorten and brief, you know, make their message briefer. So there's a way to keep some of that stuff that you're so devoted to, maybe use it in different ways. That's exciting.
Yeah, no, that's why I say you need to preach longer, but your sermons need to be shorter.
Yeah.
You know, and deep dives. I mean, sometimes pastors really want to get into the tabernacle and they want to get into the, you know, the significance of the genealogies of Jesus or whatever. And, you know, they don't have time to explain that on Sunday morning. Do a deep dive. Link to that right in your video. Hey, if you want to learn more about this, if this is a really cool topic for you, click on this link and we'll go to a deep dive. But see, all this requires studio time. You got to pre-prepare these things. You can't be winging these. So, you know, I'm looking for pastors who are willing to pre-prepare. And who are willing to have their act together on Sunday morning. So Sunday morning becomes less of a stressor. Your sermon's done. Mm-hmm. You are more focused on relationships. You're more focused on, hey, how are you? You're not exhausted mm-hmm. at the end of your sermon. The mm-hmm. only part you did live was the wraparound to the sermon, where you welcomed people in, you set up the sermon, you did announcements, you maybe gave some scripture readings and some background. Then you roll the tape. And at the end, as the Spirit prompts, you can sense the feeling in the room. Maybe I need to give an altar call. Maybe I need to give people an opportunity to join a small group. But your action item is live. I could just see this as such an effective method. Let's say you have campus pastors. Guess what? They're frustrated because you're talking and they're not. So what you do is you send the sermon to them on Wednesday and you say, buddy, build your own wraparound.
That's beautiful.
You don't control that. The yeah. sermon itself is at 18, 19 minutes, right? But then they build their own wraparound. They build their own connection to their community that they're ministering to by doing the wraparound. You relinquish some control, but in exchange, you build relationships.
Yeah.
I see a couple of huge advantages to this. I'm not a pastor. I haven't played one on TV. I've been a pew sitter my entire life.
Most definitely, Chris. Most definitely.
But as a pew sitter, I've always longed for the ability to talk about what I heard. You know, it was very impactful. And yeah, I can share it with somebody else. Oh, you know, if the video is available, I can say, hey, you know, I could even say fast forward to 15-minute mark because there's this great thing right here. But, you know, when I meet with my community group or my small group or my men's group, it'd be great to have these resources available to say, hey, let's talk about, you know, I wanted to ask somebody a question about this, but, you know, the pastor was too busy after the service and I don't want to, I mean, he's got a bunch of other people to see. Now we can talk about it in the community group, the men's group. We can say, hey, let's all focus on this great thing that we heard from Pastor Joe, you know, this Sunday. And if he's been sending out the daily devotions, the other resources, then, you know, whenever we meet, we can use that. You know, it's the previous Sunday sermon, but we can all take advantage of it. So that's a huge benefit, I think, for everybody in the church.
Well, yeah, because what pastor, especially mega church pastors, have realized, and this has been a great frustration for them, is they have wanted to create this follow-up piece. And so they preach a 40-minute sermon on Sunday, and then they send out a study guide for their small groups to study during the week because they realize their sermons need to be reinforced. Yeah, they're smart guys. But these follow-up materials, you can't watch the whole sermon again.
Right.
And so what happens is that the groups kind of rebel and they go off and they start studying Max Lucado and, you know, kind of doing their own thing, right? This happens all the time. Okay. But if they were equipped with these shorter bursts that were basically discussion starters, then that would be another piece that you could create. Hmm. But again, you know, it's about studio time. It's about, you know, pre-preparing these things and not relying on Sunday morning for everything. Now, hey, guys, I think we may be scaring some pastors here and scaring people. This is the most radical stuff I'm doing with the online preaching coach. If you don't want to give up your 40 minutes or you can't do all this video content, there is tons of other things that you can do as a pastor. For example, I teach pastors how to gain attention in the first 30 seconds. Probably the most important thing I teach pastors is how to start your sermon with a hook. Now, do you guys know what a hook is? Anybody? Hands up. What's a hook? What's a hook, Mike?
Yeah, it's the attention grabbing piece that you throw out there that kind of catches people's attention and gets them leaning forward into what you're about to talk about.
Good, good. Let me give you a more technical definition, okay? Yeah. It's either an intriguing metaphor, an attention-grabbing visual, or a compelling story.
That's okay? Great.
And there's one other kind of hook you can do, which is the basic customer value proposition. It's as simple as this. Today, we are going to teach you how to be kind to those who hate you. Just something like that. Anything that just tells people what's getting ready to happen. It's the old army thing. Tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. People need review. They need to be set up properly. So one of the things that I do is I teach pastors how to start with a hook. Now, there's a funny part in my video series that, by the way, I have a free video series, The 9 Commandments of Great Online Preaching. Anybody can watch it. You don't have to be a preacher. You just go to my website, davidmorrow.com/coaching, and sign up for it. It takes less than an hour. But I do this funny thing where I talk about how this jockey has started a race and he's on this horse. And seconds into the race, he jumps off his horse and starts looking for another mount. This is what pastors do with their hooks. They start off with this hook and then they abandon it. Or they jump onto multiple horses. They introduce multiple metaphors, multiple stories, right? A smart pastor and the best pastors out there who are getting huge online followings have recognized that you start with one hook and you ride the whole hook all the way to victory. You ride that hook all the way through. You coin a phrase. One of the examples I do in the video series is I talk about the difference between credit card religion and gift card faith. You know, credit card religion, where we're always paying a debt, we always owe God. Gift card faith, God gives us his salvation as a free gift. And I just use credit cards and gift cards all the way through the sermon. I'm constantly showing those cards. And so pastors need to learn that it's okay, that it's actually better if once you create a metaphor to build your entire message upon it. And then here's what they find. Here's what pastors find. They'll come back weeks, months later, and people will say, hey, I remembered I was standing at the till at the store and I remembered your credit card sermon. You know, yes. It just embeds into their brains. And these are like little robots that work on your brain. They work on your soul and they change you, kind of like the parables that Jesus used to preach.
Wow.
I've been in church a long time, and this brings back to me, you know, back in the old days, I used to have to do some children's sermons. Mm-hmm. And so you get the kids up there and you've got, you know, 4 or 5 minutes. And typically you would try to mimic whatever the pastor was going to do. You know, you found out what the topic was for today's sermon, right? Yes. And, you know, so you always had an object lesson, right? Because you got to give the kids something to hold, something to look at. So you do this little vignette with an object and you dumb it down. And I didn't do them all the time. I did them occasionally, but invariably I would remember the children's sermon and I would forget 99% of what the sermon was on, but I remember the children's sermon. So I got a little piece of what was the topic for the day, but you know, we're not dumbing it down. We're focusing on the main point and having a visual to bring it home.
No, we're working with the human brain instead of against it.
Right.
90% of what the brain perceives comes through the eyes. Mm-hmm. Everything else, touch, taste, smell, hearing, is the other 10%. So if you don't give them a visual, if you don't give them something to look at besides your face and a Bible, they're not going to remember what you said. So yeah, you're not dumbing down. This is the misinterpretation too. Is people think that a short sermon or a concise sermon or a brief to the point sermon is somehow dumbing down or watering down the gospel. It's not. If you can say it quickly, clearly, and in a way that people remembers, you are elevating the gospel. You're not dumbing it down.
You know, as you say that, that's convicting to me because I think as a pastor myself, when I would preach, sometimes my wanting to say more was out of a lack of trust for God and the Holy Spirit to work. Right. Sometimes you need to say less and just let the line out. As I forget who the author was, it said, the word of God doesn't need your help. Right.
Well, you know, what I say, Matthew chapter 13, Jesus says that it says that he only spoke to them in parables. And why? Mm-hmm. Because so that hearing they may not understand. And I'm like, what? Yeah. What are you, some sort of a masochist, Jesus? No. what he's saying is, I don't want them to understand right away. I want them to go to their fields and think about this.
Yep. Yep.
And I want them to get together and talk about this. I want them to crack this nut themselves. Yep. And in that cracking of the nut, I want to give the Holy Spirit room to work. And so when we overload people with this explanation, we are not trusting the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, Chris, you've been to one of my men's retreats, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So one of the favorite techniques that I'll do there is I'll do an object lesson, and then I just turn to the guys and say, all right, what did this mean?
Yeah, that was the whole weekend.
What does this mean?
And it was great because they would figure it out, and then and you know, different tables would have, we thought of this. Oh, I never, you know, and I think you didn't expect that answer, but they had thought it through and they gleaned something from it that maybe wasn't the main point, but it was meaningful to them.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly it. I'm giving the Holy Spirit room to work when I say less. Mm-hmm. And by shrouding things in parables, by making them a little more mysterious, I am allowing God to work through that mystery. So yeah, I think we do want to be the Bible answer man, and I don't think that's always productive.
Well, my favorite story from the weekend that I went to you with in Ohio was the zip tie story. So I'll try to tell it really fast, but you had each table, there was like 60, 70 guys in the room, 5 tables, each table, bring up your strongest man. These guys did a push-up contest. 2 of these guys were amazing. They went for like 5 minutes doing continual push-ups. I mean, these guys,
they were jacked.
I would have dropped after like 30 seconds. And so the strongest guy in the room, you paraded him around, then you sat him on his throne, and then I zip tied him to the chair. And now you said, okay, strongest man, get out of the chair. And obviously he couldn't do it. And then we cut him free. And then you told the tables, hey, okay, what did I just show you? And these guys liked that message so much that they all wore zip ties. I think they wore them for the next week. And then they had a zip tie cutting off session at their church the next Sunday to kind of encapsulate the entire weekend. It was just amazing. You know, it's a very simple message brought home in a way, because it was visual, it was right there, and it had a life-changing impact on these guys.
Yeah, well, I think the fundamental question is, Pastor, are you willing to invest the time to compete in the visual economy?
Right.
You know, for 500 years, we've had an attention monopoly. People have come to a room, they've sat down, they've listened until we're done. And it's made us lazy communicators because they're not going to get up. They're going to sit there and obediently pretend to listen, right? Mm. Once you put that same sermon on a screen, it becomes a part of the attention economy. And now it's one of just a billion different things people could watch. And suddenly you don't have that monopoly anymore. You have to compete. And so what I do is I train pastors in the art of on-screen communication so that their messages compete, so that they can be watched, so they can be remembered, and so they can be shared.
So backing up for a minute, we've been talking about pastors and the online pastor or teaching course or coach.
Online preaching cohort. Yeah.
Thank you. And here, so what about the guys who are listening who are not pastors right now? Mm-hmm. And they have, but they have a pastor who's, mm-hmm. who's maybe they're feeling like, man, I wish our pastor thought this way. What would you advise someone like that, a guy in his church who maybe is in those shoes?
Okay. So if this has piqued your curiosity, whether you're a pastor or not, I'm going to be a little self-serving here, but I've got a resource that can help you. Go to davidmurrow.com/coaching and sign up for my online mini course. It's less than an hour. It's called The 9 Commandments of Great Online Preaching. And so watch that video and take the course. And even if, you know, like I said, even if you're not a pastor, I think you would benefit because most of us Christians at some point have to give a talk. And you'll learn a lot about how to be a more effective communicator, both online and in the room. Then just send the link to your pastor. Hey, say, hey, this, I saw this fascinating little video course. It takes less than an hour and it really helped me become a better speaker. And I thought maybe you'd be interested in, you know, getting this free training. And then just see if he watches it. And, you know, follow up with him. Now, my online preaching cohort materials online are free. I do have a cohort that you pay for that you become a part of member of. I price it with pastors in mind. I realize pastors are not, you know, Elon Musk. We don't have billions of dollars. So I try to keep the price low. But most medium-sized churches could easily afford this course. And it's 6 months of intensive you and me type training. We're on a weekly Zoom call. You have my phone number. I help you come up with object lessons. I help you create sermon series. I walk for 6 months with the pastor, holding his hand, showing him how these things work. And so, you know, for a very reasonable cost, you could hire me as your coach. And then, because these things, they're hard to, once you figure them out, they're easy, but it's something you really have to practice because it's such a different way of communicating than you learned in seminary. So if you're a lay person and just go to my website, check the get your pastor on the waiting list, check out the current rates, and maybe you could find somebody at your church who would even scholarship the pastor or carve out a little bit of money in the budget and send him to this coaching course. And I think you will see a radical improvement in the way he delivers his sermons. They'll become more focused and more profound at the same time.
Mike and Dave, it sounds like, you know, for the pew sitter like me, there's a couple other things. You know, I can be a much better communicator, coming up with visual elements, object lessons. I've done it, but for me, for David, it's like you roll out of bed and you have 15 object lessons. I mean, I don't know how you do it, but I can do it. It just takes me, it takes more work. But I do find value in that when I'm talking to anybody, because, you know, whether it's my kids or my wife or somebody else, mm-hmm. when I can have a summary that involves an object, they'll remember it and then they'll engage with me. You know, mm-hmm. I tend to be a little long-winded, as people who listen to the podcast know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I start rambling, people pick up their phones. They just tune me out, you know, very obviously. But I'm thinking that somebody in a church, you know, it may take a team. You know, the pastor can get trained or can pick up some tips, but, you know, he might want to run some things by some people. He might want to have some help on creating visuals, you know, especially the video elements of it. So there's a lot of geeks out there like me who, you know, yeah, I've run Pro Presenter for the online, for the weekly sermon, but I'd rather get involved with helping create some video content because that could benefit my friends, benefit people who are thinking about the church.
Right. So your question is?
Well, my question is, How do you approach your pastor? how do you become a part of the team without putting him off?
Oh boy. I don't know the personality of your pastor. He may be very defensive. He may be very open.
Okay.
I here's the reason I call my cohort the online preaching coach. Is I think a lot of pastors think their preaching is okay. A study from Barna Research found that 90% of pastors believe they are above average. Mm. Basically, it's Lake Wobegon. Everyone's above average.
Right.
But of course, this is mathematically impossible. A lot of pastors simply don't realize that they're failing to connect. But they may be willing to accept some help when it comes to online preaching.
Okay.
Because they can see that little number. They can see, oh, I got 17 views last week. That's not really where I want to be. And this is a particularly good time to approach them, because in the wake of the pandemic, when churches were closed, pastors were getting hundreds or even thousands of views.
Right.
And we're down about 90% from that peak. Mm. So I think a lot of pastors are going, wow, what happened to my online audience? This is what happened to your online audience. Go see Dave Moreau, take his free course, learn to do some of these things. And then if you're really serious about creating sermons that work both online and in the room, take his cohort and become a part of the team that really learns how to figure this out.
Okay.
Yeah, because they pastors tip, I mean, by and large, have no clue. I mean, the ones that I talk about, it's like, I just do my job and preach. And then I've got this volunteer who just happens to be able to video record it and put it online. And we're really grateful for that. And they're not thinking beyond that mm-hmm. you've got this audience you're missing out on. And this reach, this potential that if to have someone like you walk alongside of them, that it to me is what's so valuable about what you're talking about with your cohort is. So I'm thinking, figuring out my messages for the next 3-4 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're kind of coming alongside of me and I'm sharing where I'm thinking I'm going. And maybe you might be coming up with ideas that might help with metaphors or different object mm-hmm. lessons or things like that. I mean, that... Mm-hmm. Wow, that would be so valuable as a pastor.
I think I just signed up my first pastor here, Mike.
Seriously.
You'd be a lot of fun. You'd be a lot of, I mean, I'm hoping to sell out very soon. I've only done a soft launch. You know, we're recording this in March. You may be listening in April and May. There still may be room in the first cohort by then. We launch in May.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really thought about this and I thought, I could just kind of post a bunch of material online, but I think I really need to help some pastors personally. I need to see if this works, see if I can actually take a pastor who was trained to be an orator and teach him how to be a communicator, because there is a difference between an orator and a communicator. Seminaries prepare orators, and I want to train you to become preacher or reacher, that's the term I use. Are you going to be a person who stands in a pulpit and preaches, or are you going to be a person who uses every means at your disposal to reach the world? And that's the other thing too. Once you preach a really good online sermon, you're on a level playing field with Joel Osteen. You've got just as much chance as Andy Stanley. Your potential audience is just as large as Stephen Furtick or Craig Groeschel. And those guys would be cheering you on if you had a million views. You know, every good sermon deserves to go viral, but you've got to play by the rules of the screen world instead of the rules which you were taught, which is basically get up and talk.
Yeah. So real quick, if you wouldn't mind, and maybe we've already kind of covered some of the 9 laws, but did we kind of cover some of those? But
We barely scratched the surface. So
what
you're talking about is this free mini course that I have, the 9 commandments of great online preaching. And they're divided into 3 groups, because there's 3 outcomes you have to have if you're going to be a good out. I talk about 3 doors that have to be open before your sermon can reach a large online audience. The first door is it has to be watched. The second door is it has to be remembered. Mm-hmm. And then the third door is it has to be shared.
Right.
Okay. Once those 3 doors are open, your sermon will go wild. So, and it's all on my website, davidmoreau.com. But anyway, so the 3 commandments for being watched is, we've already talked about, you have to hook the audience in the first 30 seconds. The second one is you've got to show, don't tell. Hmm. I can't tell you how many times I've sat in church and a pastor will get up there and he saw, well, I saw this really funny YouTube on video. It's this car and it's rolling up against this hill. It starts rolling up and there's all these people hanging off of it. And then it starts rolling backwards. And then there's this donkey and he does this long explanation. Dude, just play the video. Okay. Yeah. A picture is worth 1,000 words. A couple of the ones under remembered is, I've already talked about this a little bit, but build your message upon a single hook. Start with a hook. Don't jump off the horse. Ride it all the way to the finish line. The other one that I'm really excited about is I want to teach pastors how to preach from the community. If you're going to videotape the middle part of your sermon, why not do that on location? Mm-hmm. And you don't have to do it from the pulpit. Do something that anchors you in the local community. If you live in Phoenix, Arizona, go shoot the beginning of your sermon in front of the Cardinals State Farm Stadium and talk about winning the race. Use the Apostle Paul's, you know, I have run the race, or the great cloud of witnesses cheering you on, that sort of thing. Make sure you localize your sermon. You know, that's something Joel Osteen and Andy Stanley can't do, but make sure that people understand you're the local guy. And then under sharing, you need to teach your members and viewers to share your messages. There are so many times when I'm sitting in church and I'm listening to a message and I think, boy, my sister needs to hear this. My friend Tommy needs to hear this. If there were an easy way that I could touch a couple of buttons on my phone and share the message right then and there, that message could go viral. You know, your sermons are the new tracts. Y'all remember what tracts were, right? Mm-hmm. They're little pieces of paper that you hand out. If people were sharing your messages like they used to share tracts, we could get the gospel into so many people's hands. But the problem is people don't share. Make your sermons easy to find and watch. I talk about the importance of sermon title. For instance, if you're preaching on 1 Corinthians 13, you know what most pastors would call that sermon? A study of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, that guarantees that the only people who are going to find your sermon online are other preachers, because most people don't search for the word Corinthian. They don't even know what a Corinthian is. So
Corinthian leather.
Well, yeah, right. You got to be 60 years old to know what that is, right? So here's the thing. Instead of calling it a study of 1 Corinthians 13, call it What is Real Love? Because that is something that people type into Google all the time, especially hurting people who've just broken up with their boyfriend or girlfriend. These are people who are ripe to hear the good news of Jesus. So I talk about how you title your sermon, how you put that little description in the box. I ran across probably the biggest. Okay. I was just last night searching for different online sermons. I ran across a church that had a YouTube page that did not identify the name of the church or where it was. It's just called Missionia or something, some Greek word, right? Right. I looked everywhere to identify where this church was, where it met, who the pastor was, nothing. It's just a collection of videos from random sermons from this pastor and no link to the church. These are little dumb things that we do that keep people from coming to our church. They keep people from hearing the gospel. They keep people from sharing our messages. So yeah, 9 commandments of great online preaching. You don't have to be a pastor to enroll in the course. You just give me your email address. I promise not to spam, share, or sell your address. And then you watch the video. And then every couple of weeks, you get more videos from me that you can watch or not watch, unsubscribe anytime.
So I'm curious, do you encourage, as pastors are trying to figure out their title and the information to put online about their, do you teach them anything about Google Analytics?
Yes, okay. I do. That's great. Google Analytics and different tools are out there available. You can, one thing I teach them right away is how to do a keyword search. There are free tools. You can pay money to do this, but you can also do a keyword search. You can see what people in your area are searching for. And then if you can bake those words into either your title or your meta description, you're more likely to rank on Google.
So David, could you give us an example of any pastors right now that you would say are really knocking this out of the park?
Yes, there's a pastor in Oklahoma, a young pastor by the name of Michael Todd. He leads Transformation Church in Tulsa. And he, 5 years ago, he was the church's sound guy and music minister. And he's an African-American pastor. His former pastor, who was a white guy who had planted the church with the idea of creating this multiracial congregation, he realized that Michael was a pretty good speaker. And so he let him do some guest speaking and he brought down the house. And he recognized very quickly that if he used more created more visual content, he could get a lot of people to watch online. People would share his messages. And so he has done things like bring a boat out on stage, staged a thunderstorm, flooded his stage. And he talks about the storms of life. He did a particularly interesting sermon series called FU, Forgiveness University. And he talked about how our attitude all day long, if your attitude all day is F you, you need to translate that into I forgive you. I mean, but the key is not here that he's controversial. The key is that he understands that he is preaching in a visual medium and he always brings something interesting to look at onto the screen. It's not just him talking for 40 minutes. And I'll tell you, you know, here's the other thing. He goes an hour all the time. Hmm. And I'm not saying don't use this as your example. Length is not what I'm praising here. What I'm praising is his ability that in 5 years, he's built a church of thousands in Tulsa. And he regularly gets 300,000 to 400,000 views a week. Now let's contrast this to a church that I regularly attend in Alaska. You know, we draw 1,000 people on the weekend and we're regularly getting between 15 and 20 views on YouTube. So clearly my church is not having the impact that this guy is having online because we're still not practicing that visual communication techniques that he has figured out. This is what I want every pastor to have the opportunity to reach a huge online audience, not to the pastor's glory, but because the gospel needs to be percolating throughout these online platforms, and it's simply being ignored.
Man, so good. So good. David, man, this has been an amazing conversation. Thank you so much for the value you're bringing. Thank you for the online preaching coach. I just think it's going to be a big hit, I think, for pastors. We're going to be sharing this far and wide for that. But just, I know you kind of said it before, but as we close out, where do people go to find you again and connect with you or sign up for this cohort?
Yeah, go to davidmurrow.com. Right on the homepage is a little 5-minute video that says it's called Why Nobody Watches Your Online Sermons and How to Fix It. And that's really your starting point. That'll lead you to my coaching page. And from there, you can either sign up for the online mini course, which is 52 minutes long, the 9 commandments of great online preaching. Or if you are ready to walk the aisle and accept David as your personal teacher, you can just go right to the cohort page, fill out an application, get on the waiting list if there's a waiting list, and then you can sign up. And that's my paid course where I teach pastors personally for 6 months how to be great communicators, both online and in the room.
That's great. Man, David Murrow, thank you so much for being with us.
It's been my pleasure. Always a pleasure to be with you too.